Just lucky, thanks. I'll stand at the bar. I shouldn't wish to attract attention.
Unjustifiably in a position that I'd rather not be in. But the cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
You're gonna eat lightning, you're gonna crap thunder.
We're friends to the end, remember?
You're unbearably naive.
Well, I was born yesterday.
I'm gonna make this pencil disappear.
Ta-da! Swallow this.
Long live the king.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubble.
What we're dealing with here is a complete lack of respect for the law.
All right, hey, it's announcement time. I'm Lewis.
I'm Jamie Dolan, that Wonder Woman.
And Jamie, why don't you start off and tell everyone this great big news that I've been holding in. Tell everyone our announcement.
So we're just here tonight to thank you guys for voting us into the top 100 spot on New England podcast featured on FeedSpot.
So never forget who you want to become. Our first guest, Lucy Christian. Big round of applause. Oh my God, look at her, she's so bubbly. Our next guest, Kyle Hebert. Our next guest, Kyle Phillips. Our next guest, Alexis Tipton.
Alexis is coming.
She's coming. She's
coming.
She's late, just like those people. There she is. And our final panelist on Let's Make a Deal, Tyler Walker.
Chicky, chicky, boo, boo, boo.
Hey, wait a minute. Wait.
Hello?
Hey.
That's be quiet, how we test the mic.
Wait. I gave them the con rules, but I didn't give them the angry rules.
Oh.
Yes. See, now you all were fooled. You thought, yeah, no video, no. Hey, what did we tell you? No video streaming. I got x-ray vision. I can tell. I know what you're doing. No.
You can Snapchat, anyway. Though, as long as you put a funny filter on it.
Yeah!
Hey, I got to go over the rules anyway.
Okay, what are the rules?
All right, these are the rules. These are Angry Geeks rules, but I don't even know I'm the Angry Geek. We don't set the rules. These guys are going to set the rules. So.
What did you say, we?
Yes, you.
Oh, you can video all you want.
No, stop. No. These are the rules. What other questions you guys are tired of answering, can't answer, are just like, nah, I really don't want to talk about it, or contractually cannot answer. Lucy, you go first.
Oh.
This is weird.
This is so hard. I'm not sure. One thing, we love people doing ships and stuff because that's super fun. But we don't get to talk about ships unless it's canon.
There you go. See?
I'll talk about ships.
So, yes. Like, yeah. In general, like, yeah.
All right.
Like the Going Merry.
Yeah.
Tyler, put your mic up.
Okay.
Too far.
Yeah.
There we go.
All right, Kyle and Kyle, you guys, anything you don't want to discuss? Anything you can't?
What can we not talk about?
Yeah.
And then. And my favorite role is.
Beep. Redacted.
All right. Alexis.
Oh, no, nothing off limits.
Oh, I know you. We haven't met you a long time.
No, I was just going to say that, like, if people have questions about other stuff, too, like, that's totally allowed.
You can ask whatever you want.
Please, actually, I'm way behind on My Hero.
Direct all your My Hero questions to Tyler specifically.
That's right.
I was only in it for 15 minutes last season. Yeah, anything about any other show that I may know about, obviously... Fairy Tale's a big one.
All right, so there you go.
Any Fairy Tale fans?
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
All right, so how many people in the room? I see a lot of people dressed up in cosplay. How many people in cosplay, okay, are for My Hero? Stand up.
Yes, Minetta.
Of all of them, it's Minetta.
Only one?
And he's got his sticky balls, too.
Right, yeah.
You got to get your list.
All right, so how do you guys feel?
Sticky
when
balls.
That Batwing. Hold on. How do you guys feel when you come to a convention and you see someone in cosplay as your character?
It's so fun. I love it.
So fun.
Because I see a lot of pictures online, which is really fun too. But then it's like, I don't know, there's just something extra special about seeing someone in person cosplaying as a character that you voiced. It's super fun. I think it's really cool.
I've seen a few gang orcas, and it like blows my mind. And like, it's usually like some feat of ingenuity that made it happen. Like the homemade gang orcas, like, rule. But yeah, it makes my day. I love it. Or a show that I'm even involved in.
Yeah.
You know, just seeing people do characters that you interacted with or helped shape. It's like, it's great.
What's really fun is if you see someone cosplaying as your character and they don't realize who you are, and you go up and you're like, I voiced your character. And they're like, what? It's so cool.
I love going up to Denki cosplayers. I'm like, oh, you look great. Can I get a picture with you? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, all right, bye. Sometimes they'll realize it. But no, yeah, what Tyler was saying, so I directed Overlord and Ancient Magus Bride, and Ainsuul Gon and Elias Ainsworth cosplays are always, like, awesome and legit. Like, a lot of work to turn into, like, skeleton bone daddies.
Yes.
We'll have the glowing eyes, even, and all that stuff.
Cool. It's always flattering to see someone dress up in something that you've worked on, or if it's actually a character that, in our case, we got to voice. Yeah. I like seeing ones that are more obscure. You know, it's like, oh, I don't know if anyone's going to recognize that, but I do. Or, you know, if someone even comes up and says, hey, you know, I loved you in Blankety Blank or that show. So it's like, that feels cool, too. But, yeah, it's always very, very flattering when people take the time, the effort, the energy, the money, the discipline, the talent to create these cosplays. It's really, really cool.
I have seen some super sweet Ochakos. There was an awesome Nami here. Today.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm also in the show. I'm also Recovery Girl now. So that's fun. And I've met a couple of, so that was super fun because now I get to be Ochako and then I get to pop in every now and then and give All Might a hard time. Like, All Might, how dare you? I told you to be kind to that young man. And blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so I've seen some really sweet Recovery Girls too.
All right, going down the line, we're going to start with Lucy. We're going to stop with Tyler. What made you? Well, that. What are you laughing for? That's you, good one. What made you, or what inspired you to become a voice actor, and what was the first voice that you ever done?
I was an actor. I was just an actor. I was a stage actor, and then I got an agent, and I started booking voice work, like commercial work, and thought, what a fun gig! I really like voice work, and the studio at the time, it's defunct now, called ADV Films, sent a talent request to our agency, which they did not do, really, but it was for a show called Naoranga, and I booked Girl on the Beach, and I did my part, and I went home and told my roommate, well, I suck at that. They're never going to have me back. I don't know what I'm doing.
Only that Lucy knew.
I know. She had no idea.
I crossed over from radio, actually, as a DJ on the air.
For totally see
Radio
it.
Disney.
Totally. Right. Yes.
Hey, everybody. FM.
With those pants that you're wearing, yeah, I could see it.
Hey, everybody. No, but seriously, I had everything I wanted to do since a kid. I was little. I watched Looney Tunes, inspired by Mel Blanc. Wanted a voice for cartoons one day. Wanted to be a DJ on the radio, so I got to do both. I've gotten to be a DJ on the radio halfway through that career. Heard about open auditions at Funimation, which is now Crunchyroll. Tried out for Gohan. I think the first thing I did was like bit parts on the Bardock special. So unnamed characters for the sake of the viewer, but the script just calls them like Man A or Demon C or something like that. So
nice. I did a little acting when I was a kid and like a teenager, but it was always like just something on the side for fun. I really wanted to get into music. Does anyone know who Rick Rubin is? Yeah? Yeah. The old timers do. I wanted to be the next Rick Rubin, but I didn't want to move to LA or New York. So I just kind of got into post-production audio and stuff like that. And I did like a Doritos commercial with Chris Sabat. And we had a good session. He's like, oh man, you should interview at Funimation. They're just up the road and they're looking for engineers. I was like, all right. So I interviewed, dropped his name. They hired me immediately. Tyler Walker was on the interview panel for me.
He still got in.
And it was great, and so I started working on shows. You know, when you're an engineer, all day, every day, you work with a director and an actor doing this, and it kind of rekindled something. I was like, oh, man, I want to get back into that. And then Monica Rial was my director for my first show I worked on, Triple X Holic. And we were doing a review, and she's like, oh, I forgot to get Big Ghost 24A. And can I do it? And so I hopped in and made some weird noise. She was like, great. And then a few years later, Tyler cast me as my first named character, Jason from Fairy Tale.
Yeah. Gula doodle doo.
Gula doodle doo.
Yeah, I remember I cast you on this one guy that gets dragged by Natsu in like episode 20, maybe 24?
Yeah.
Again, and I was like, oh, yeah, Kyle's got something, you know?
And it's contagious.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, my story's a little long, so I'll give the Cliff Notes version. Basically, there was a lot of things that happened, kind of happenstance, but if you strip all that away, the crux of it was I was a theater actor for many years. I got started when I was really little and was in a super competitive program when I was in high school, and it was like my whole life. And I didn't know anybody in production at Funimation. It was still Funimation at the time. And I just did it the very old-fashioned way, which was I sent in an acting resume and a headshot and put together a very terrible, awful voiceover demo using the record. Because back then, because I've been doing this for 15 years, so back then, like, voiceover demos were not as important as they are now, but it was a way to be like, here's an idea of what I sound like. And so I used the default recording program that came on my parents' PC, because I was in high school at the time. Oh. And the default microphone that came with the PC.
Oh.
So it was adorable. You
like that gray, like,
yes,
long thing.
Yes, exactly.
It turned gray over time.
Right, yeah. So your girl made it work, but it was atrocious. And I just, like, read stuff from books I had. I had so many scenes from plays and, like, scene work I'd done that I just read stuff from that because I don't know what I was doing. So I just put it together and then was lucky enough to get called in for an audition. And Leah Clark was my first director, and she cast me in my first show, which was a show called Tower of Draga. And I was the princess in episode one, who's only in episode one, because, spoiler, the first episode's like a dream that the main character's having. And she ended up calling me back in for a character named Ala, who ended up, she was part of like a group of female bounty hunters, and they come in as sort of like a sight gag every few episodes, so she just was sort of this little recurring bit. Which was super cool, and then just kind of went on from there.
You interned, though, too, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I was interning at the same time that I was voice acting, but I was interning in the marketing department.
What?
Yeah. So, because here's my thing. I was in, by the time I actually started working, I was in college, and I had auditioned my senior year of high school, started working my, I went away to school my freshman year, and then transferred back home, and, because I was local to the area, and I was kind of like, okay, I'm doing this voice acting thing, but I also am, you know, I don't know how this is going to go, and I'm a fan of backup plans, so I figured I needed to, like, study something that wasn't acting, because at that point, acting was all I knew, because I had cool parents that didn't make me get a job in high school. Mm-hmm. They were like, just focus on acting, you know, it's great. So, yeah, I interviewed for an internship in the marketing department of Funimation, and most people only did it for a semester, and I ended up doing it for a year and a half because I just enjoyed it so much. So, and they would work with my college schedule and my voice acting hours, and it was really great. Like, I truly enjoyed it. Awesome. Yeah,
yeah. I thought it was cool to see you in the booth too. It's like, oh, yeah. You know, the interns are actually really good. Like, amazing. When I was five, I was on stage for the first time. I was riding a bull in the rodeo around the arena, and, like, I grew up in a small town in Texas, so it all tracks. And I really liked being on stage. I was in musicals, I was in choir. I liked to record, like, myself on tape players. I liked to play and stuff like that. I was in plays. I was in technical theater. I was a RTVF major, so I studied audio engineering and broadcasting and post-production sound, and I was in bands, and I went to UNT, which is where I met, I went to college with Chris Sabat and John Bergmeier, and Vale was there, and some other people from that time, and I moved to LA, and moved back. And then started working at Funimation with these people I knew that I knew from bands and stuff. And I was an engineer and a production assistant. And then I did this bit really. No, I think maybe my first bit was this character One of my only credits on Dragon Ball Z is this character named Dogface. And he just gets wasted by Vegeta or something. It's like nothing. And I did some guy who gets the crap beat out of him by the main character in Baki's Wrath. And I started engineering, directing, producing, script writing, and just almost anything that I could do there, I would show interest in and try to wear them down until they let me, And that was my plan. And 20 years later, I'm still there.
All right, before I get to my next question, if any of you have a question, raise your hand and Emily will bring you the mic. Oh, there you go, Em.
Woo!
Yay, yes. Someone has a question Bash. This time.
That's awesome.
What's your name?
My name's Christina.
Hi, Christina.
Hi. This is for Kyle. So we hear Kyle. Dumb Danky. Phillips. So we hear Dumb Danky a lot in My Hero. Is that, do you ever use that voice in real life when something, is silly or goes wrong?
Yes.
Yes.
Only when a bill collector calls?
Not for, a long period of time. I'll stub my toe and I'll be like, That was fun when we established that voice. That's, because Denki is just my voice, just kind of a little excited. Like, hey, I'm Denki Kaminari. But I remember establishing the dumb Denki noises with Colleen. She'd be like, well, like this. And I'd be like, what about this? Just going back and forth, me and her just going, And we finally landed on it. And the scripts, I believe, just say, Kyle noises.
Play some reaction tennis with a director. And they're like, And you're like, And they're like, You just do that sometimes again and again and again.
Yeah.
It's true.
Thank you.
Thank you, Christine.
Another question or no?
That's his real voice.
Yes.
I think your voice is just the front.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Bea. So this is a question for all of you guys. If you have multiple characters that you guys are voicing, do you pick favorites? And if so, how involved do you get in the fandom aspect of those characters?
You want me to go first? Yeah, you go first.
I don't really pick favorites, but I have favorites. I think they just like for all of you, whenever you saw a show and you loved it, that sometimes happens, right? My first favorite show was not a big show. It was Princess Tutu. And to this day, I'm an uber fan of it. I love that show. It's so special to me. And so I get into that fandom, right? Because it's kind of hard to find stuff, and it's not. But definitely, do I have stuff from shows I've been in? Do I collect stuff for Nami and Ochako and Honey Senpai and the goddess Hestia and all the... Of course I do. For sure. I have a shelf. I have stuff. I have a portfolio of things I've collected and things people have given me.
I think we're all been very, very blessed when it comes to fans giving us things. Yeah. We have boxes and boxes of, fan art or just custom-made things or people, baking cookies and giving them to us or whatnot. It's really, really cool. Mm-hmm. I collect merch, of course. I think we all probably all do. Collect merch of our characters, and we love seeing that. It's hard to pick a favorite, I just love the process. So when people say, what's your favorite gig? I say the next one. Because I just love going to the next session and find out what's it going to be today. Is it going to be some named character? Or is it going to be an episodic character? A big guy, a little guy, villain, monster, demon, whatever. And I just love the process and the people I get to work with, whether it's online, we're doing remote recordings, or physically into the studio. It's like a hybrid, at least in L.A. We do a little bit of both, depending on the studio.
Yeah, you do kind of like what Lucy was saying. It's interesting because you'll be a part of something like My Hero, and that's like a lot of people come up and be like, oh, I love Denki. Oh, I didn't know you were this or that or that. Or what's this? What's this? What's this? Because the sad truth of anime is I think every season 40-something shows come out, but people just watch one. So you'll be a part of a show that's really good and really funny and well-written and the character, and it's really interesting and unique. But for whatever reason, it just didn't have the manga hype behind it, or they just don't market it, or whatever. And so, those are man, this is so fun. So, So my, if I had to pick a favorite, like I love Denki, I love Marco, I love Hiro, but there's a show I'm in called Space Battleship Tiramisu. And that was one of those shows where the licensor was like, do whatever you want with this show. And so we had a blast. I'm the main villain in that, and he's just so silly. It's a little rated R, but we had so much fun working on that show, and it's two seasons, and yeah, it just kind of, no one watched it, so.
All right, well, let's change that. Say it again, yes. Nice and slow.
Just type in tiramisu anime, and it's the first thing that pops up.
Okay,
it's,
you can't, because you look like you're too young for rated R.
It's a lot of fun. Go.
You either, that. Over there, just, you can't. I don't know what you look like without that, but everyone else, look it up.
Yeah, I agree with, I've just been sitting here nodding my head. Yeah, I agree with everything that everyone has said so far. I have a two-bedroom apartment. My second bedroom is my studio office space. And I have a whole thing in there that's filled with, like, figures I've bought of characters I voice or things that people have given me. I have, like, I guess they're just called art books. They're those big books you can get from, like, craft stores where they're meant to put, you're meant to put art in them, which is exactly what I use them for. I don't throw anything away. Like, if people are kind enough to make something or give me something, I have it. A lot of it's hanging on my wall in there, and so it's just, like, a room of merchandise. Yeah. It's like my little nerd cave. And, you know, like, I voice Kurumi Tokisaki in Data Live, and she has, like, hundreds of figures, and they're all so beautiful and so expensive. And so I only have a couple, but it's fun when you get a character that has a lot of merchandise associated with it. So that's really cool, and, yeah, it's really, I always say choosing favorite characters is like choosing a child, because I think we've all also been blessed to have been to have voiced a lot of characters that mm-hmm. we genuinely enjoyed and had a lot of fun with. There have been certain characters that hit a little harder than others just because I either related to something or the show was happening at a really important time in my life, or the impact of the show was a really big deal for me, or, you know, lots of different things. But yeah, it's so hard to choose favorites, but it, like what you were saying about how there's some of the shows that I've enjoyed the most are shows that, like, not a lot of people have watched. And it's not that I don't like the roles I've had in bigger shows. It's just that, oh, man, you know, the show was so much fun for XYZ reasons. But, yeah, gosh, I could give a whole list of shows like that.
Yeah, there's something, like, kind of more, like, private about those shows that didn't take off that you, like, maybe, like, worked really hard on and all this stuff. And, like, it's like you're a little protective of it. You know, you're like, that show deserved better than it got, you know.
Or it could even be something like it had a novelty about it in that we got to use accents or something like that, which you don't get to do very often. Or, you know, maybe this was a role where we worked with a director for the first time, and that was the first time we met them, and then we went on to, like, you know, like Sonny Strait. You know, Sonny Strait is an amazing director, and so and he's an amazing person. And so I'll always remember the first time I worked with Sonny Strait because it was just an incredible experience. So, yeah, I don't know. I hope that answers your question. I don't know.
And, like, I'm two characters in My Hero. I'm Gang Orca, and I'm also Kojiro Bando. And Bando didn't do anything for, like, most of that ever. You just feel like, or something. But then, like, when he, like, his one scene, his one, like, episode where he talks, he has the silliest voice, but it's, like, actually, like, Gang Orca is, like, some studio magic. I can't go that. So, like, there's a little disconnect to the voice, but this, like, goofy, like, scarecrow-sounding guy is, like, just, like, something that I'm doing. And he's, like, I don't know, he's a little more cartoony, so that's, like, kind of fun. You know, we do all this kind of serious stuff and these big stakes stuff, and then, like, if you just have some guy who sounds like he's about to jump out of his skin because he's so scared, it's a little more, it's a little more fun, I think.
Right. Before we get back to the audience, Alexis just mentioned accents. So starting with Tyler, what are your favorite accents to use?
I mean, I'm not really...
And use it. When you answer, use
it. I'm not really... I can't, like, to this day, I still can't believe that Ian Sinclair paid me for my British accent in Black Butler.
Well, use it. Like, let's hear it.
I can't. I don't know.
Do it.
It's been years... and I did a German accent, but I mean, you know, I feel more at home in my roots, in my Texas accent.
Well, there you go.
You know, just something that's a little more down to earth, you know, taller, Holler. That's what I'm called in East Texas.
Holler.
But yeah, accents, you know, I've done some accent shows and it's very difficult and you have to really rely on people. Like you have people like Ian that are just great with accents.
He's
I had him
so
develop
good.
This
He's
accent
so good.
For the show called Phantom and like we did this accent and like, and I was like, all right, guy, you know, that's awesome. Let's keep going with this. The guy had one phone conversation and never appeared in the show again. So, you know, at least he used his Spanish accent.
All right, Alexis.
What about you, Alexis?
Oh gosh. I mean, I think the accent we get to use the most is British, and I have a British boyfriend, so I have no excuse. But it's ever evolving. But no, I think the accent I like doing the most is Russian.
Okay, go ahead.
I've played a few Russian characters before, you know, Stratsvoitstie, Dasvidanya, you know, like, and I was Gina Boyd in How Heavy Are the Dumbbells You Lift, and they actually gave me a dialect coach for that.
Oh, wow.
And then there was another show I worked on called Agora School Suite, I think is what it was called. And my character was not canonically Russian, but we just decided, I think we gave her a Russian accent because they were presenting her as being this really dumb character, and it was really unkind. And there was just sort of this, like, this connotation that was like, I won't go into, but it just didn't hit right. And I was like, this is mean. And so we were like, okay, instead of her being stupid, we'll just make English her second language. And that completely changes the context. It's just her, like, struggling and trying to find words and things like that. So we just made her more like a foreign exchange student that had to have things explained to her. So then it, I don't know, so the director chose Russian for that. Sure. So we did a Russian accent. Russian's really fun. I think I did a German accent for you, but I don't know how good it was.
It was
like, higher German, figure it out.
Yeah, it was okay. It was okay.
Yeah, it was just, it's so funny. I'm about to record on, I have to do another project where I do German. Really? And I'm like, I got to brush up on that. That's been a few years. Yes.
That was for DSE Ray, another show.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Nobody watched.
Kierkeisen.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Da. Als die alte Mutter.
Kyle?
No, I don't have anything readily available. Like, the few times I've done accents, it's like, I can kind of do it, and then I'll like, yeah, I'll like, do some research and like really get into it, and then I can do it for a little short amount of time. My British accent jumps around the island, and then and then goes to Australia a lot.
Yeah. You did a Russian accent for me in Ninja Slayer.
Yes,
and it was
Ninja Slayer,
and it was bad.
Watch it.
And it was amazing. It was just what we needed. Yeah. We needed a bad accent.
Yeah,
and it was great. Oh, you said something in Russian.
Yeah. Dang, I forgot about Ninja Slayer.
That show is amazing if you don't like to use your brain.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
Kyle?
It seems like Russian is a popular thing, so yeah. And many years ago, I have done very cartoony, over-the-top Russian accents. There was like a wrestler character in Dragon Ball Z. There was General White, he was in Dragon Ball, all sorts of different things. I mean, I wish I had an excuse to use my southern accent, too, but that never really happens. But sometimes when I would be the Dragon Ball Z narrator, they said, it's a little too Texan. They're like, next time on Dragon Ball Z.
Last time.
That's right, Tyler.
Yeah. Get yourself a sweet tea and sit down and join us.
Sweet tea. Sit down, kick your shoes off. Yeah.
Well, the episodes would be twice as long.
They really would.
That's true. That's true.
That's true facts.
Yeah, totally we've got
true.
These slow flaps. We need a real drawl.
I have gotten to do quite a few. I did, so I'm Miss Hungary in Italia. So it's very like, oh, Austria, how dare you? Like, it's just a lot of that. I am Eloise Trancy and Black Butler. So there's a lot of, Claude, do invite the Kyles to tea. Like, and just whatever. Olay! Anyway. And I've weirdly gotten to do a lot of Southern things. There's a show, it's from a million years ago, called Magical Shopping Arcade, Abenabashi. And I am a little boy named Sashi. And I got to say my favorite line, probably in all of anime, where he walks to the edge of the world that they're on, and he sort of drops trow and has to relieve himself. Little boy.
And he says, oh, man, there's just something so sci-fi about pissing off into space. I love it. And I'm Little Miss Malachite, like the Southern thing. I'm Little Miss Malachite and Ruby. So that was cool. So she's a villain, and she gets to talk down here. Mm-hmm. Hello, y'all. It's delightful. I love it.
That's the Georgia Southern accent.
It is.
Well, it sounds like you've got molasses.
Oh, it's honey.
See, there's an accent right there, Kyle. Yeah. Yes. All right, audience. Question. Yes.
Question, audience.
Hi.
What's your name?
Nick. Nick is my name. Hi.
Hi, Nick. Everybody. Hi, Nick.
What's up, Nick?
There you go.
I'm just rehearsing in my head. Myer Academia is a show with a lot of themes about the people we leave behind, the rat race, things like that. And I mean, I'm just wondering, in your career so far, have you had do you feel like you've been given the opportunity to tell new kinds of stories that you feel like you're excited to be able to tell?
New kinds of stories. What was the last part of the question? What was the last part of the question?
The main thing I'm getting at is through acting, through the characters they were able to voice in the shows you can book. Are you finding that over the years, there's new stories, new opportunities to tell different kinds of stories, and you're just like, it's really cool that I get to flesh this out for people.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, what you find, what you kind of see is that in storytelling, there are just some really true human character arcs and some things that a lot of stories sort of boil down to. And you're right. You know, My Hero has quite a few of them. I mean, one of them that I, on the second watch, that I saw in it that I didn't see the first time was the theme of passing power onto the next generation, passing the torch. That All Might has got to know when to leave, right? When to say goodbye. It's the Hamilton moment. Knowing when to say goodbye. And he does it so well, right? And it's heartbreaking, but it's all those things, right? And sure, it's how wonderful to get to be a part of that storytelling. For
sure. All right, let's mix it up. Alexis, why don't you take your turn on answering that?
Oh. Wait, on this, we're still on the same question?
Yeah, same question. Sure. I just wanted to deal with
it. No, that's cool. I was sitting here thinking about it. I think for me personally, in some of the shows I've been able to work on, I've loved seeing how the topic of mental illness has become less taboo, and that I've been really fortunate to be in some really powerful projects that I felt really addressed those things in a very delicate way and a very respectful way. They weren't used as some, archetype. It was like, no, this is a very nuanced thing that shows up very differently for lots of different people. And being able to be a part of some slice of life shows where that manifested in very real ways, and then, seeing how that manifests in shows that are more like supernatural or have a more supernatural element attached to them. Also things like, I think we've all been a part of shows that touched on sexual orientation or identity or things like that. And it's just really, really cool that stuff is being, again, because some of that, even like with depression was so taboo, in entertainment, because I think the idea behind it was that people want to focus on more uplifting stuff. They don't want to be reminded. But it's very cathartic to talk about some of those things and to see characters that you can connect with, like going through these things and finding joy and happiness on the other side. It's very inspirational. So I think those stories are very important to tell, and especially from a representational standpoint. And I love seeing how so much more of that is cropping up, more so that at the very least it prompts a conversation, which is really important.
Kyle Hebert.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, I think that. I think in a story like Dragon Ball, the whole saga has been about family and how important that is. And seeing the evolution of characters that maybe on the surface seem like, they're 2D. But I think that Gohan he's so many things. He's strong, he's powerful, he's smart, he's very, very intelligent, he's a good father, he's a good husband. He's all these things that his own dad, Goku, isn't. And Piccolo, even though he's not blood, Piccolo is pretty much his dad. I'll say it. He's been there in ways, and it's been really interesting with the latest movie to see how Piccolo and even his own daughter, Pan, have psychologically manipulated poor Gohan into thinking a situation is happening when it's not, but it helps drive him to this whole new level of power-up that we've been waiting for Gohan to be great again for a long time. And it's like, you know, Gohan is all these great things, but he's also a strong fighter, which Piccolo has been hinting at, and Gohan hasn't really had the opportunity to showcase that. But he can still remain. You know, he's not going to become, even though Beast Gohan is the name of this form, he's not primal and unhuman. He is, you know, the things that really ignite that flame are the intense love for his own family and the fierce protectiveness and everything, and to see that come alive, that's really cool to be a part of that franchise. It's very, very special.
Tyler?
I mean, only one show, there's only one show that I've worked on where, like, people from different backgrounds and kind of, like, different approaches and different goals are all, like, really, you know, are different, like, larger goals, motivations and all that are all coming together and kind of putting aside their differences to, like, capture this bowl of soup that only appears, like, once every 1,000 years in the frozen tundra. And, like, that's a story I've never seen before. Honestly, no, it's in Toriko.
Oh.
They get the consomme that's made from the glacier.
That's one of those shows that, like, it's a crime that it did not get, like, pushed out and marketed.
It is a crime that, like, but I would say, like, probably the most unique show was Shangri-La.
Oh.
That was about, like, basically societal collapse because of environmental destruction, and like about how people use that kind of people with resources and with, like, they found a way to monetize the suffering and, like, made this, it was like all this financial stuff, and then, like, the leaders that were all coming up against it were all, it was like this, like, this very female powered thing, and even this and there were some very strong trans characters.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting to see all these dynamics at play, and, like, some very, also very, some hot topics at the time. And then, you know, there was even, like, things like code switching and stuff, and, like, moving between different societies that we didn't really have to do before. And nobody has ever seen it or heard of it.
Oh, man.
All right, Kyle, you're next.
I got the pleasure of directing probably one of the gayest shows in anime, Escape the Infinity. And, yeah. And we definitely turned it up in the dub. Because very quickly we realized, like, I was like, oh, here's this skateboarding show. And it's like, oh, this show isn't about skateboarding at all. And it gave us one of the best lines in all of anime, hey, bitches and bros and non-binary hoes. And I think that's the first time non-binary has ever been in an anime. And for those who've seen the show, my favorite take on it is, it's great to finally get representation in anime, but it's weird that it came from Adam. For those who've seen it, he's the villain in Horrible, but great. David Wald won 2 awards for that role. But yeah, it was so cool, like, being a part of something. You know, I'm a boring old straight dude. And it was cool to, like, kind of be a part of it, and just people, like, just loving it, and like, thank you. Like, it was so cool to, like, help, like, get something that different out there, like something that people have been craving and wanting. So that was super cool.
All right, audience, question. Yes, M?
Oh, I'm sorry. So dangerous.
What's your name?
Noya.
Noya.
Okay, so out of all the animes you've been in, and for Kyle, or produced, what is your favorite line you personally have made and or said?
I said mine about taking a wee wee.
Yep.
I may think of another one, but I'll. Yeah, favorite line.
Man, one of the best lines I thought is from Shangri-La. I was thinking of it the other day. It's Kent Williams' character plays Momoko, very strong trans character. And she says, courage is the lipstick of the soul. And I was like, that's damn good. And Kent sells it. Yeah, some of those lines, I mean, you know, sometimes it's about the moment that really moves.
Yeah.
I think about, like, when Wendy joins the guild in Fairy Tale, and, like, it's not really what they say, but, like, just thinking about it, like, it's, you know, yeah. gets me, you know. I need to look at a picture of something.
All right. Alexis, why don't you answer that?
Oh, God, I'm so terrible about remembering lines. It's bad. Like, I can think of scenes that really left an impact, and I can think of, like, music and shows that made me cry, and... I kind of going back to what we were talking about in the before question. I know this isn't exactly what you asked, but it's the first thing that came to mind. I had the privilege of directing a show a few years ago called World End, and it was one of those shows that I'm like, oh, I wish more people would watch this. But it essentially, they don't call it this, and there's like a supernatural reason for it, but there is, there's a character that is essentially, through magical associated reasons, is basically experiencing dementia. And she's aware of it. This is a thing that happens to the... They're called fairies, and they're not truly fairies, but that's what they're called. And when they use too much of their magic, it backfires on them, and they have a very short lifespan because of it. And she has this monologue where she's talking about, oh, these younger girls that I've helped raise, because she's like 15, and the younger girls are like 8. And, you know, they don't know that I'm forgetting them. They don't know that I remember their faces, but I don't remember their names. God, I'm going to cry. And she has, like, she has this line at the end of this monologue talking about her experience where she's kind of accepted what's happening, where she says something like, as everything I am falls away from me, will there be anything that I have left to touch? And it's just like this, oh, or something like that. And it's just like the most devastating thing ever, because she's in love with someone and she's starting to forget him. And it's just like, but yeah, if you ever want to just cry your eyes out, but also enjoy a very character-driven, relationship-driven story, the full show has a very long title, but it's been shortened to World End. And it has the most beautiful, I say that with full confidence, the most beautiful cover of Are You Going to Scarborough Fair I have ever heard in my life. So please check it out.
That was a good pitch.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, Kyle.
I'll try not to spoil this moment, but in season 6 of My Hero, Waycamp was directing me because Colleen was on vacation. And it was a moment, hang on. Something's going on with Deku. I know. Something's going on with Deku, and all the other 1A students are like trying to appeal to him in a strong emotional way, in a very serious way. So it's like, you know, you got to do this, got to do this, got to do this. And so Denki's contribution was, wouldn't you rather relax instead? You could really use a bath. And in this moment, and we were just dying laughing, and in this moment of like seriousness, like Denki says that, and it was great. I loved it.
Kyle.
So there's a moment when Gohan turns into beast mode on the new movie, and he just turns into his cool Clint Eastwood kind of thing. It's like, is that all you got? Okay, then guess it's my turn. Like, ooh, like, and seeing that in a theater full of fans are like, woo, yeah. It's like, oh my gosh. I got chills.
I will say, so there's something really fun because people read the manga. I have been writing things on Pops that I had not even said in this show yet. So when we finally got there in season 6, it was really big to get to say who protects the heroes when they need protection. You know, like to finally get to say those words was like, I've written this on Pops a whole bunch.
Audience, that's all we got. I'm sorry. The panel is over, but wait a minute. What I need you guys to do is first give these guys a round of applause.
Yes. How dare you?
Okay, enough. Hold on. next, I need you to go down to their tables, buy an autograph, get a picture, and have fun. Even if you already saw them, go down and say hi and drop some more cash and give these guys what they deserve because they're super talented. And they came here to see you. Just remember that. All right? And have fun the rest of your time at Contropolis, Pennsylvania. We thank you.
Thanks, y'all.
And if thank somebody, you. Where the next panel is about One Piece.
Skip it.
Dang.
Wow. That's, that was very, very rude, my man. Very rude.